I'm Brooke Allen. It's 8:30. Karen Massal is with me. She is a licensed professional counselor and registered play therapist with Wellspring Counseling in Lansing, and she specializes in working with children after trauma. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Brooke.
Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to talk in a little bit long, in about 10 minutes, about how we help kids deal with trauma and how to deal with all the social media aspect of what happened in Las Vegas and how to help them through this.
Yes.
But I wanted to talk to you a little bit first about your background, and you're a play therapist. So explain to us what that is.
Play therapy is using the language of a child, which is play, to help them in any kind of healing that they need, because children are concrete thinkers. And so emotions are abstract, and they don't, when they're little, they don't have words for those, but they will play them out. Like you'll see, if you take your child to the circus, they'll play circus for 3 days. If they go to the doctor, they'll play doctor. So what they do in their play is work out life. That's how they learn. That's why they swing and why they play dress up. So play therapy is a relationship in which the play is held and giving them a space to do what they need to do.
So if they've been through an emotional trauma, they will essentially play out that trauma?
That's one of the things that can happen, yes.
Okay.
They can play the trauma. Sometimes they will avoid it. Sometimes they'll do other kinds of play. But what we'll see, maybe patterns of harm, of danger, of unresolved wounds. And so they'll either play it out directly or indirectly or avoid. So
that's how you can also assess a child's emotions.
Yes.
By watching them play.
Yes.
And I know out in the lobby we were talking, and you mentioned there's sand that they
yes.
play, right?
Yes. We have many ways that the toys in a playroom, the kind of play therapy I do primarily what we call non-directive, which means when a child comes in, I'm not asking them questions. I'm not directing, because I just want to see where their hearts take them. So we have what we call a loaded playroom, which are very specifically chosen toys that will maximize their imagination. So we have toys and art supplies and sand tray. I also have a dog that I'm training to be a therapy dog. So just lots of different ways that they can express their hearts and their emotions and what's going on.
Karen Massal is a licensed professional counselor and registered play therapist with Wellspring Counseling in Lansing, and she specializes in working with children after trauma. So, Karen, good morning. Thank you again for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Because of this happening in Vegas, and kids in Michigan, obviously, are seeing this on social media. They're seeing it on the news. They're hearing everybody talk about this.
Yes.
First question I have is, what do parents say to kids?
I think the first thing is what parents do is comfort. And I just think comfort, comfort, comfort. Do this through holding, a soothing voice, gentle touches, because what physical comfort does is begins to calm a highly aroused brain. And knowing that children are concrete thinkers means that they don't have words for the horror that they are seeing, hearing, feeling. So along with this holding and comforting children in the most soothing way that you can, I think the next thing that parents can do is give words to these feelings that the children have. Children are feeling scared, they're feeling confused, they're feeling sad. So a parent can just say, you seem very scared, you seem frightened, you seem sad. And then you affirm that and just say, of course you're scary. What you saw was a scary thing. And then I think it can be very helpful for parents to, in a sense, re-identify your relationship, a parent, a child, a teacher, a friend, an aunt, anybody, by saying, because I'm your mommy, daddy, aunt, teacher, it's my job to do all I can to keep you safe and to help you. So you hear in that, we're not promising children that we will forever protect them from danger. We clearly live in a world where bad things happen. But when bad things happen, what we do is move to help. And so we're giving them that message that we will help to repair. So I'm your mommy, daddy, teacher, and it's my job to do all I can to help keep you safe and to help you if anything happens. And another thing that this repair does is builds resilience. because when bad things happen and good people come alongside to help, what happens is that children begin to see, oh, bad things can happen and I'll be okay.
Right.
So they begin to, what we call, integrate that painful experience. Like, you know, a scar integrates into the rest of the skin on your body. Right. It looks a little different, but it still functions and you've integrated it. And another thing I think can be helpful too is for parents to say, you know, when children ask you, what about these horrible things that happened? Is to say, you know, there are some things that are just too big for children. And that's my job, to carry those heavy burdens. And your job is to play. So you go do this. But if a child is stuck on the trauma, I was speaking with a friend yesterday who works with in a care setting with children. And she said, well, you know, kids were you know, with Legos and cars, they were shooting and whatever. And she said, I just let them play. And which was great that she was doing that. And I said, and what you can do with them is take them beyond that and say, and when the car got shot, then what happened? Mm-hmm. Well, it fell down. And then, the tow truck came. And then, so we can do that with these images that children have.
So carry it through.
Yes, like frame by frame by frame. And then, you know, so you went to the doctor, and then what happened? Well, the nurse took my temperature, and then what happened? Well, they poked me. And after they poked you, well, they put a Band-Aid on. And then, well, mommy held me. So that's part of integrating it. Because what happens with trauma is it gets stopped right there in that moment.
Like frozen.
Exactly. And it doesn't, there's no further story.
So you have to further the story.
So you invite them.
Okay.
Very gently, step by step. So they can do it in play. They can do it. We'll take play therapy with children using art, we'll get a stack of paper and say, and draw the next thing. And they draw it out and go, and you talk about that. And then you get another piece of paper and you say, and then what? So then they're beginning to, it's like the brain's beginning to flow again, you know, rather than just be frozen.
That fear is what freezes you, I think.
Right. Yeah. And because it's overwhelming, that's what trauma is. It's an inability to process. It's too much.
Okay, so as far as ages go, I have 5-year-old twins, and although to my knowledge, I was certainly not going to talk about this in front of them,
correct,
not going to show them any video.
Wise.
But somehow they knew it, they heard it somewhere, and had nightmares all night.
Yeah.
And were screaming, you know, and they're 5. So
that's terrifying.
So from 5 years old, how do you address the different ages with something like this that is so out there right now?
Yeah. Especially with the younger children. First of all, what is critical for parents to do is to protect children from, sorry to say this, Brooke, but from the news. I mean, adults certainly need to, and when children develop abstract thinking and they need to begin to develop thought processes about the world, they have the brain capacity to do that. But yeah, we never know what the news is going to be. You didn't Saturday know that this was going to be your focus this week. So when we protect children from them, from screens and from media and even, you know, radio, just be with your children when they're there. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, choose time. Definitely listen to the news, watch the news, hear what's going on. So the first big thing is protect. And there are a lot of children who are not protected from that. So when they get in a setting like school, they're going to process it.
Right,
they're going to talk about it. They're going to work it out. So I think protecting. So when they're little, we can do the things like comfort, give words for the emotion, remind them that we're the adult, and it's our job to do what we can to protect, and then to help, and encourage them then to play. Would you like to draw a story? Should we tell a story about this so that we can take them beyond what has frozen them in the horror?
Okay, so it's really all about finishing the story with them and letting them get beyond that fear.
Which they can do if we first have comforted them.
Okay.
So when we're held in a safe place, then we can begin to go, okay, now I can tell you what's really, really hurting inside. But if we don't feel safe, we're not going to go there.
Okay.
So that's a parent can do that, can hold. And that works through elementary school. I would say elementary school. And then in middle school, there's more, they're developing more language for abstract ideas like, why would a shooter do this?
Right.
Yeah, those are, that's not a conversation to have with a six-year-old.
Right.
Just like, it's mommy or daddy's job or auntie or teacher or whatever.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. You've helped a lot, and I appreciate you coming in this morning.